Hello, my name is Lincoln, and I will be reading for you today the Iroquois County Times-Republic for Thursday, August 13th, 2026. Top of the front page, Watsika Family Festival set for August 27th through 29th in Legion Park by Carla Waters, Managing Editor. The Watsika Family Festival is 2 weeks away and the weekend is packed with activities. The event is August 27th through 29th in Legion Park. Activities begin at 4 on August 27th with the FFA selling pork chop sandwiches until 8 p.m. and inflatable fun happening until 9 p.m. Local group A Natural High will perform from 5 to 6:30 p.m. and an all-faith service will be from 6:30 to 7 p.m. Faith on Fire will perform from 7 to 9 p.m. The festivities begin at 4 p.m. again on August 28th with food vendors opening and tailgate treasures happening until 7 p.m. The American Legion Fish Fry will begin at 5 p.m., as will the Trinity Church Scarecrow Contest. The Gibson Area Hospital Kids Zone will be active from 4 to 9 p.m., a video gaming trailer and a laser tag event will run from 4 to 8 p.m. Yard games and inflatables will run from 4 to 9 p.m. On the main stage at 7:30 p.m., Confederate Railroad will perform before the Kentucky Headhunters take the stage at 9 p.m. After the concert, local band Lanterns Road will take to the Miller Light stage. August 29th events begin early with the Smoke on the Water Barbecue Contest running from 6:30 a.m. to 3 p.m. The 5K Color Run Kids Dash takes place at 7:45 a.m. and then the 5K Color Run begins at 8 a.m. The Watsika Kiwanis has planned a breakfast from 8 to 10:30 a.m. Opening ceremonies by the American Legion Post 23 will be at 9 a.m. A baby contest is planned for 10 a.m. and tailgate treasures takes place from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. The Watsika Area Chamber of Commerce and the American Legion will present a bags tournament at 11 a.m. Food vendors will open at 11 a.m. and the car show runs from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. A princess party is set from 11:30 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. The Gibson Area Hospital Kids Zone will be open from 10 a.m. to 9 p.m. A petting zoo will be conducted from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., which is also the time for the reptile show. Face painting will be available from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. A Touch a Truck event is planned from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. The magic show will happen three times on August 29th at noon, 2 p.m. and 4 p.m. There will be free swimming at the Watsika Pool from noon to 6 p.m. The video gaming trailer will be available from noon to 8 p.m., which is also the time for laser tag. The Serve Bank Teen Zone will operate from 1 to 5 p.m. with a teen dance, golf simulator, gaming trailer, inflatable axe throwing, and pool tournament. The entertainment for the evening will be Montgomery Gentry featuring Eddie Montgomery at 7:30 p.m. Presentation of colors will be done between shows. Rodney Atkins will take the stage at 9 p.m. Lanterns Road will be on the Miller Lite stage before and after the concert. Tickets are still available for the concerts and can be purchased at WatsikaFamilyFest.com/tickets. Community Awards. Chamber announces award winners ready for annual banquet. From staff reports, the Watsika Area Chamber of Commerce is conducting its annual banquet September 2nd at the Homestead venue in Watsika. One of the highlights of the event is the presentation of awards. The Chamber presents the Community Impact Award and the Chamber Spirit Award. The WACC wants to recognize outstanding businesses, individuals, and organizations that stand out among the Chamber and that have demonstrated excellence, innovative practices, growth, longevity, and significant contributions to the community, said Executive Director Amanda Hibbs. This year, the Community Impact Award winner is Watsika American Legion Post 23. The 2026 Community Spirit Award will be presented to Kristen Vogel, State Farm Agent. Both awards winners have been notified they are winners, and a more formal presentation will be done at the September 2nd event. Also at the event, the Times Republic will present the Lifetime Achievement Award and the Citizen of the Year Award. Historically, these awards are presented the night of the banquet and are not announced ahead of time. And there are some lovely pictures. One of Kristen Vogel, State Farm agent. There she is, lovely smile. Rebuilding Iroquois and Ford counties. Construction season brings major improvements to the region. Dateline Iroquois and Ford counties. Rebuild Illinois is continuing to improve mobility, safety, and quality of life in Iroquois and Ford counties and along the Interstate 57 corridor, with the Illinois Department of Transportation delivering multiple major projects this construction season. Made possible by Governor J.B. Pritzker's capital program, 8 projects represent a total investment of $119 million, creating and maintaining good-paying jobs throughout the region, according to information provided. The historic Rebuild Illinois program continues to transform our infrastructure and enhance key economic corridors across the state, said Pritzker. Our ambitious capital program is putting Illinoisans to work as we improve regional transportation systems, encourage new economic activity, and build a better future for all Illinois. Of the 8 major projects in the Iroquois and Ford County areas, 3 are scheduled to be completed and 1 scheduled to begin in 2026, and 4 are scheduled to begin in 2027. I-57 at Illinois 54 interchange in Onarga, bridge deck replacement. Work began in fall 2025 and is expected to wrap up this fall. 1 lane of traffic is open in each direction. I-57 over Lewis Creek Bridge replacement. Work began in summer 2025 and is expected to be completed this summer. 1 lane of traffic is open in each direction. I-57 from the Ford County line to the Buckley Interchange, patching and resurfacing, bridge repairs, and rest area improvements. Work began in fall 2025 and is expected to be completed this fall. 1 lane of traffic is open in each direction. I-57 from Sugar Creek to Prairie Creek Bridge repairs and repairs to various structures on US 24 and Township Roads 155 and 58A crossing I-57. Work is scheduled to begin in spring 2027 and will wrap up in fall 2028. One lane on I-57 will be maintained in each direction utilizing temporary crossovers. There will be lane closures on bridges crossing I-57 controlled by temporary traffic signals. I-57 over the Big Four ditch bridge replacement. Work is scheduled to begin this summer and is expected to be completed in fall 2027. One lane will be maintained in each direction utilizing temporary crossovers. I-57 from the Clifton Interchange in to the Kankakee County lines resurfacing and bridge repairs. Work is expected to begin in summer 2027 and wrap up in fall 2028. Lane closures are expected. Danforth Road over I-57 bridge deck replacement. Work is expected to begin in summer 2027. Traffic impacts are still being determined. US 45 from US 24 to Illinois 54 resurfacing, drainage upgrades, and shoulder widening. Work is expected to begin in summer 2027 and wrap up in fall 2027. Expect daily lane closures. I am very excited about these infrastructure improvements, said State Senator Chris Balkema, Republican, Pontiac. It is critical that Illinois continues to invest in our highways. I'm thankful that IDOT is driving these improvements, and I look forward to seeing their results. Passed in 2019, Rebuild Illinois is investing a total of $33.2 billion over 6 years into the state's aging transportation system, creating jobs and promoting economic growth. Rebuild Illinois is not only the largest capital program in state history, but also the first that touches all modes of transportation, roads and bridges, transit, waterways, freight and passenger rail, aviation, and bicycle and pedestrian accommodations. Thanks to Governor Pritzker's Rebuild Illinois, we are continuing to deliver transformational projects up and down the state, said Illinois Transportation Secretary Gia Biaggi. We look forward to another safe construction season that benefits the region for decades to come. Accomplishments through year 7 of Rebuild Illinois include $25.6 billion of improvements statewide to 24,498 lane miles of highway, 959 bridges, and 1,475 additional safety improvements. November 3rd, general election voting information announced in Iroquois County. Iroquois County Clerk Brian Suver's staff have issued a public notice to the elderly and handicapped for the November 3rd general election. Those who are not registered to vote and wish to be are asked to call the county clerk's office at 815-432-6960. And I'll be giving that number again. A list of registrars and locations to register voters is available at the clerk's office. People may also register at the county clerk's office located in the Administrative Center, 1001 East Grant Street, Watseka, from 8:30 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. Monday through Friday. Additionally, people may register to vote online. The website address is iroquoiscountyil.gov/elections. Click on the paperless online voter registration link and follow the instructions. Eligible voters must hold a valid Illinois driver's license or an Illinois state-issued identification card. In order to be eligible to vote at the polls for the November 3rd general election, the last day to register in the county clerk's office or with deputy registrars is Tuesday, October 6th. The last day to register online is October 18th. Electors may now apply to vote by mail either in the county clerk's office or by phone at 815-432-6960. Also, you may visit our website at iroquoiscountyil.gov/elections to print a vote-by-mail application. The last day to vote early in the county clerk's office before the November 3rd general election is Monday, November 2nd. Handicapped and elderly voters may also vote at their polling place not accessible to them by requesting a special application from the county clerk's office. Election judges will assist voters who have properly applied for curbside voting. Election judges are available to provide assistance when needed if a friend or relative cannot assist the voter at the polls. For any information concerning registration or voting for the handicapped, please call the county clerk's office at 815-432-6960. There are three obituaries. Emma Jane Light, 93, of Sheldon, passed away on Tuesday, August 4th, 2026, at the Iroquois Resident Home in Watsika. She was born on January 1st, 1933, in Watsika, the daughter of George and Ula Bell Hootman Goosey. After Ula Bell's passing, Bertha Monahan helped raise Emma Jane and her sister. Emma Jane married Harold E. Light in Sheldon on June 24th, 1955, and he preceded her in passing on June 15th, 2006. Surviving are two sons, Rick Sheila Light of Martinton, and Roger Lori Light of Sheldon, one daughter, Cindy Schneider of Sharpsburg, Georgia, one sister, Pat John Fredrickson of Kentland, six grandchildren, Alyssa Sean Spaulding, Richard Light, Heather Casson, Bridget Dave Thompson, Matt Abby Light, and Ben Katie Light. 18 great-grandchildren, 3 great-great-grandchildren, and several nieces, nephews, and cousins. Emma Jane was preceded in passing by both of her parents, her husband Harold, one son, Rod Light, and daughter-in-law, Diana Light, and one son-in-law, Bob Schneider. Mrs. Light played the piano and organ for over 50 years at the Darrow Church of Christ, where she was a member. She was also a member of the Order of the Eastern Star. Emma Jane was an avid bingo player, loved her time at the Iroquois Cafe, and was recognized as the Grand Marshal of the Sheldon Fun Days Parade in 2023. A special thank you on behalf of the family to Autumn Trace Kentland Assisted Living for taking such good care of her there. A heartfelt thank you to Pat Platter for being such a good caregiver to her at home. And a special thank you to Iroquois Memorial Hospice and Iroquois Resident Home for their great care in her final days. Visitation will be from 9:30 to 11 a.m. on Monday, August 10th, 2026, at Knapp Funeral Home in Watsika. Funeral services will follow at 11 a.m. with Pastor Gary Milton officiating. Burial will follow at Sheldon Cemetery in Sheldon. Memorials may be made to Iroquois Memorial Hospice or to the family's wishes. Please share a memory of Emma Jane at knappfuneralhomes.com. Mike Early, 78, of Watsika, passed away on Wednesday, July 29, 2026, at Iroquois Memorial Hospital in Watsika. He was born on September 7, 1947, in Gary, Indiana, a son of Walter and Mary Osby Early, and they preceded him in death. Mike was survived by three sons, Mike Early Jr., John Early, and Tony Early, three grandchildren, Piper Early, Caitlin Early, and Douglas Early, one brother, Robert Early of Bloomington, and four sisters, Helen Coggins of Plainview, Minnesota, Loretta Boyer of Lanark, Linda Clatterbuck of Watsika, and Margaret Hentz of Colorado. Mike loved cars and the Chicago Cubs. He was a proud veteran of the United States Army. A funeral service will be held at 11 a.m. on Watsika with Pastor Chuck Coggins officiating. Burial will follow in the Oak Hill Cemetery in Watsika with graveside military rites by the Watsika American Legion Post 23. Memorials may be given to the donor's choice. Please share a memory of Mike at knappfuneralhomes.com. Carolyn Jeannie Jones, 64, passed away peacefully on August 4th, 2026. Carolyn will be lovingly remembered by her devoted husband, Stephen Jones, of Watsika, Illinois. She is survived by her children, Brian and Deanna Barnard of Watsika, Illinois, Curtis Tadden of Newman, Illinois, Amanda Kinzel of Bourbonnais, Illinois, James and Joe O'Leary of Wisconsin, and Jacob Jones of Chicago, Illinois. She is also survived by her sisters, Tammy Zia and Calvin Gardner of Kansas, Crystal and George Butler of Lexington, South Carolina, Gayla Taden of Watsika, Illinois, and Beth and Murray Schaumburg of Watsika, Illinois. Carolyn is also survived by her mother-in-law, Evie Jones of Watsika, Illinois, five granddaughters and numerous nieces and nephews. She was preceded in death by her beloved son, Brandon Taden, her mother, Catherine Taden, her father, Harold Taden, her sister, Susan Roberts, remembered for the love she shared with her family and friends. Her kindness, strength, and caring heart touched many lives, and her memory and her father-in-law, Jim Jones. Carolyn will be remembered for the love she shared with her family and friends. Her kindness, strength, and caring heart touched many lives, and her memory will be cherished forever. She leaves behind a legacy of love that will continue to live on in all who knew her. Forever loved, forever missed, and forever in our hearts. Those we love don't go away. They walk beside us every day. Please share a memory of Carolyn at www.burial.com. bearfuneralhome.com. And now to the calendar. Saturday, August 15th, 9 a.m. to 12 noon, Crescent City Dump is open for residents only. Monday, August 17th, 8 a.m. to 2:15 p.m., first day of attendance for Milford Area Public Schools, 6 p.m., Crescent Iroquois CUSD No. 249 Board of Ed meeting. Tuesday, August 18th, 8 a.m. to 1:30 p.m., Cisner Park Unit 6 students report for a first day of school. 8 to 11:30 a.m., Crescent City Grade School students report for first day of school, no lunch served. 5 to 6 p.m., open house for Watseka Community High School, grades 10 through 12, and Watseka Junior High School, grades 7 through 8. 5 p.m., freshmen meet in the gym. 6th graders meet in the cafeteria. Wednesday, August 19th, first day of classes for Iroquois West CUSD No. 10. First day of classes for Watseka Unit No. 9, 1 p.m. dismissal. 8 a.m., first day for Milford Area Public Schools Pre-K/ECE. Dismiss at 3 p.m. 7 p.m., Milford Area Public Schools Board of Ed meeting, Thursday, August 20th, 7 a.m. Have items at the curbside in Crescent City for townwide recycling, residents only. Iroquois County Sheriff's Police reports. Arrests on August 1st, Iroquois County Sheriff's Police arrested Felipe Aranda, age 40, of Gilman. According to police reports, deputies conducted a traffic stop on a vehicle being driven by Aranda in rural Buckley for traffic violations. Deputies discovered Aranda was wanted on an Iroquois County warrant, charging him for driving while license suspended. Aranda was taken into custody and was transported to the Iroquois County Jail, where he was later released on a notice to appear. On August 3rd, Iroquois County Sheriff's Police arrested Julian Munoz, age 29, of Onarga. According to police reports, Munoz was wanted on a Livingston County warrant, charging him with contempt of court. Munoz was taken into custody and was additionally charged with resisting arrest. Munoz was transported to the Iroquois County Jail, where he was released on a notice to appear and was released to Livingston County. On August 4th, Iroquois County Sheriff's Police arrested Joseph D. Hart, age 41, of Hoopston. According to police reports, Hart was wanted on an Iroquois County warrant, charging him with several violations of sex offender registration. Hart was taken into custody and was transported to the Iroquois County Jail, where he remains, awaiting his next court date. On August 4th, Iroquois County Sheriff's Police arrested Richard T. Lindsay, age 36, of Thawville. According to police reports, Lindsay was wanted on an Iroquois County warrant, charging him with violation of an order of protection. Lindsay was taken into custody and transported to the Iroquois County Jail, where he remains, awaiting his next court date. On August 4th, Iroquois County Sheriff's Police arrested Brenda G. Swearinga, age 59, of Woodland. According to police reports, deputies conducted a traffic stop on a vehicle being driven by Swearinga of rural Woodland. Swearinga was taken into custody and charged with possession of drug paraphernalia, possession of methamphetamine less than 5 grams, and driving while license revoked. Swearinga was transported to the Iroquois County Jail, where she was later released on a notice to appear. My name is Lincoln, and I have been reading for you as best I can the Iroquois County Times-Republic for Thursday, August 13th, 2026. Please have a fabulous day.